feedback there, Mike. For those of you who are wondering where Pastor Don is, don't you fret, he'll be back. So for our first-time guests, welcome, and I'm not usually the one up here, so I dress nice today so that if I goof, you guys could see, well, at least she looked good. It is Freedom Sunday, and this is a subject that is near and dear to my heart, so I asked Pastor if I could come up here and speak to you this morning. He graciously stepped aside and said, sure. Before we start, I want to give a little bit of a warning, especially for those watching online. We are going to be talking about sensitive subjects this morning. We're going to be talking about human trafficking and some other things that you might not want to, your little ears to hear. So if you have a minute to usher them out of the room, you might want to do that. This message that I'm bringing this morning is adapted from International Justice Mission's message. So I want to give them a shout out. We're going to be talking about them a lot today. Have you ever walked into a room with a clear purpose in mind and you get to the room and you think, why am I here? That happens to me a lot. I think it happens more as I get older. But perhaps you found yourself asking that question in a deeper reason lately, especially in light of the pandemic. Throughout history, human beings have asked themselves this question, why am I here? And with varying answers. Today, we want to ask, how do we answer that? How do we answer it today? Why are we here? Well, Gary Haugen, who is the founder of International Justice Mission, the mission we're talking about today, which is an organization dedicated to protecting people in poverty around the world from violence, such as sex trafficking and forced labor slavery. He answers the question this way. The reason we are here on earth is to be agents of Christ's redemption in broken lives and in a fallen world. In other words, we're each invited to play an active role in the world, here and now. We're meant to make a difference in a broken world around us. There's no denying the brokenness and fallenness of the world. We've seen it time and time again. We know God's original intent and design was for a good and just world where people thrived. But then sin entered the picture and brought with it brokenness, violence, death, and destruction. But as the people of God, we have a specific and a holy purpose. And our present reality is this. The people of God have the opportunity to be the most who they're meant to be when the world is least as it was meant to be. So think of it like this. If you have a car that was made after the year 1983, it has a cup holder in it. And that cup holder is designed there for you. It's passive. It's there for you as you cruise down the road to hold your Yeti full of freshly brewed coffee or your iced chai latte. That's its greatest purpose. However, if you have a car that was made after 1999, it is also equipped with an airbag. You like our photo of this dummy hitting the airbag here. Now, unlike the cup holder, the airbag is serving its highest purpose when everything is going wrong. At the moment of a high-speed impact, when everything is chaotic, the airbag deploys and subsequently protects the passenger from imminent danger. That's its purpose. In a fallen and broken world, Jesus invites you to be an airbag, not a cup holder. So what do we mean by that? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said it this way, "You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth." Light is most powerful in the darkness. And salt, as a preservative, finds its purpose in the midst of decay. So when the world is dark and crumbling around us, followers of Jesus actually have the opportunity to live out their purpose. When everything in the world is crashing down, we get to be the airbags. The people of God have the opportunity to be the most who they were meant to be when the world is least as it was meant to be. So today is Freedom Sunday, and today we're focusing on the work of justice being done around the world by International Justice Mission. IJM is no stranger to a broken and a fallen world. Day in and day out, they come face to face with the most heinous evil happening, from human trafficking to violence against women and children to the online sexual exploitation of children. Human trafficking is modern-day slavery. It's buying and selling humans. It's objectification. Traffickers turn people into products or commodities. Sex trafficking is when victims are exploited for sexual purposes. They're recruited, controlled, and used through deception, force, and coercion. They could be sold by family members, even their parents, or lured in by false job advertisements or by fake friends on social media who use extortion. And this is happening all over the world, including in the United States. As a matter of fact, Florida is the third largest hub for human trafficking in the United States. So I bring that up because I want you to be aware that your children and your grandchildren can be targets of online grooming. Now, the biggest reason these people are in business is because there's a demand for what they're selling. And part of that demand comes from pornography. The porn industry fuels sex trafficking, and likewise, sex trafficking fuels the pornography industry. So be aware of that link. When someone watches pornography, more often than not, they're contributing to the sex trafficking industry. Now, IJM's mission is to protect people in poverty from violence by helping rescue and restore victims and helping repair the system that allowed the violence to occur in the first place. Their vision is to protect 500 million people from violent injustice by the year 2030. Currently, 5 billion people, 5 billion children, women, and men, all made in the image of God, live outside the protection of the law. They have no one to call when they're trembling at the hand of violence. This is called the justice gap, where people in poverty are uniquely vulnerable to everyday violence, which is as much of a daily threat as homelessness, hunger, and disease. This is the reality of the people IJM serves. It's the daily reality of people like Haki. Haki is a survivor from Guatemala. As a young child, Haki lived with her mother and her brothers. Her father was absent, but they were happy and they were well off. But then when she was 12, her father returned home to reunite with the family. And that happy, stable family unit began to shatter. Haki's father began to drink and beat her mother. And when her mom was gone at work, he would drag Haki and her brothers out to the ravine near their home and force them to cut wood to sell. This was dangerous and exhausting. But then Haki's father began to sexually abuse her in secret. Haki recalls, with her eyes downcast, "He would cover my mouth so I couldn't scream." When her mom discovered this horrible truth, she took Haki and her brothers and they fled from their home in order to escape the father's abuse. Everything they knew was abandoned and lost. Haki's mother worked hard to seek justice for her daughter and punishment against her husband. Haki soon discovered that she'd become impregnated as a result of the father's sexual abuse. The baby, however, was lost during the pregnancy, which was the final tragedy of her young life. God is a God of justice. Throughout Scripture, he calls his people to do justice. The Hebrew word for justice in the Old Testament is mishpat, which means giving people what they're due, whether punishment or protection or care. So let's look at a portion of a passage on this topic. Isaiah 58, beginning with verse 3b. "Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers." The NIV says exploit there. "Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high." So we see here that God is not pleased with the type of fast they're doing. It's inward focused. It's selfish. He continues in verse 6 to say, "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness." Again, the NIV says, to loose the chains of injustice. "To undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. So fasting isn't for ourselves. It's to break the chains of injustice, ours and those around us, which include Haki. So if we're more concerned about our own comfort, then we're acting like cup holders. It's when we open our eyes to what's going on around us that we become airbags. We do justice because God cares about justice. Psalm 82, 3 through 4 says, "Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." God cares deeply about people who are vulnerable, mistreated, abused, trafficked, and enslaved. And he has created you and me to do something about it. So what does that look like practically? Let's look at four aspects of doing justice that are a reminder of how we should care as followers of Christ. First, God calls us to compassion. He is a compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. When we're compassionate, we enter into someone else's suffering. We should have compassion on those who are experiencing violence. But this isn't something we can simply strive for. It's a heart issue. The work of doing justice actually begins with being with God and communing with Him, which then transforms our hearts. Our heart toward those who are vulnerable is directly tied to our relationship with Jesus. If we don't have compassion for people who are experiencing violence, then we probably need to start by examining our own relationship with Christ. God wants to transform our hearts in order that we might share His heart for the sake of the world. So how might God be inviting you to grow in compassion? How might He be asking you to simply be with Him? Second, God calls us to act. Our compassion informs how we act, how we respond to injustice. As God changes our hearts, growing us in love, mercy, and compassion, He calls us to do something. God has not created you to be a cup holder. He's made you to be an airbag. As a follower of Christ, God has empowered you with the Holy Spirit to step into the hardest places in order to bring hope and healing to those who are experiencing violence. You're not made to stay comfortable or play it safe. God is calling you and challenging you to courageously extend the love and grace you've experienced by reaching out to the world around you. There are no bystanders in the kingdom of God. Remember in verse 6 of Isaiah 58, God said to loose the chains of injustice. He goes on in verse 7, still speaking of the kind of fast He's chosen. "Is this not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh." So here we see practical steps in the work of justice. Just as an airbag deploys, so God's people go into the world to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. What action might God be calling you to take? A few years ago, God called me to step out in faith. Because of several personal experiences over numerous years throughout my life, He asked me to begin talking about the dangers of pornography and how it's affecting society as a whole and individual households as it permeates families by targeting children. Because of my experiences as a parent, I write and I speak to encourage, support, and offer hope to parents of children who've been exposed to pornography. I also work as a facilitator at E3 Family Solutions. And as facilitators, we go into local schools and we talk with preteens and teens about making healthy choices and avoiding risky behaviors, including sending nudes and watching pornography. And through these roles, I'm doing my best to be an airbag, not a cup holder. So let me ask you again, what action might God be calling you to take? Third, God calls His people to repair. God is a repairer. He's making all things new. And he invites us into that work of repairing what's broken. That includes repairing broken systems and showing a broken world what the kingdom of God ultimately will look like. Violence robs people of the reality of seeing a better tomorrow. With God's supernatural power at work within us, we're God's plan to paint a more vivid picture of the world as it will be when Jesus returns. Isaiah 58, continuing, starting with verse 10. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Through two decades of work, IJM witnessed story after story of injustice. And they began to ask, how can we repair what's broken so that these horrible injustices never happen in the first place? What can we do so people like Haki never have to experience what they experienced? The work IJM does and the role it plays in seeing God's kingdom come requires perseverance. And not a flash in the pan kind of work. This requires long obedience in the same direction. It's the long road of justice. So this work of repairing then leads to empowering others. So as we participate in the work of the justice, there's this beautiful ripple effect. The public ministry, which is Guatemala's prosecutor's office, referred Haki's case to IJM Guatemala. Haki's mother was no longer fighting alone. IJM walked beside them for over a year until Haki's father was arrested. He was sentenced to 8 years in prison in 2010. Both Haki and her mother needed assistance and time to recover from their trauma and slowly found the path to happiness again. Haki was able to continue her studies, which had been interrupted by her father's return, and she graduated high school in 2014. Haki remained in Guatemala, joining the IJM team as staff in the visiting office. In 2019, Haki became the Latin America representative in the Leadership Council of the Global Survivor Network. It's a mouthful. It's an international group of survivors who will shape and lead this movement to protect people from violence. In 2020, she enrolled in law school, motivated by her desire to show that justice is possible for those who, like her, have experienced violence. As we do the work of justice, we empower others to do the work of justice. And we see the miraculous and redemptive power of God as survivors heal and share their stories. When God's people care, lives are changed. As I work with parents, I empower them to talk with their children openly about the dangers of pornography. As I talk with preteens and teens in the schools, I empower them to say no to risky behaviors. And in this way, I'm affecting the world for Christ. When children and adults choose to say no to pornography, they're stopping the demand for it. And when there's no longer a demand for pornography and prostitution, there's no longer a need for online grooming and sexual exploitation. And thus, the sex trafficking industry is cut off at its root. This is who God calls his people to be, because this is the kind of God that he is. God the Father, in his compassionate love, sent Jesus to walk this earth, to draw near to the people, to suffer with the people he so dearly loves. He took action that led him all the way to the cross, bearing our sin and our shame so that we could have freedom and ultimate rescue. Jesus is the repairer of brokenness, making all things new and restoring the world to his original intent, which is just, right, and good. And God is empowering God, sending his Holy Spirit to live in you so that you can do even greater things. Next week, we're beginning a sermon series called Hope is Here. And I want to encourage us even now to give hope to the exploited. Today you have an opportunity to care, to have compassion, to act, to repair, and to empower. You have the opportunity to be the most who you are meant to be. You have the opportunity to be an airbag. You're invited to step into God's story of redemption in the world by becoming an IJM Freedom Partner. As a Freedom Partner, you're linking arms with a community of people who are doing the work of justice by giving monthly, by praying regularly, and by being a part of repairing brokenness in the world. When you give, people like Haki, are no longer abused, enslaved, and trafficked. So we are to be Christ's agents of redemption. And now that you know Haki's story, will you become a part of the solution? You can become a Freedom Partner for as little as $24 a month. You can go to this link, ijm.org/FP. When you become a Freedom Partner before the end of September, your gift will be doubled, and there are doubling gifts up to $300,000. We also have envelopes for you to give in if you prefer to give by cash or check. You should each have gotten one of these. If you put your offering in here for IJM and put it in the blue box, we would be glad to mail that in for you. But I highly suggest you go to their website and check them out. I just give a little bit of information up here. So it's an amazing organization. Also, we gave you prayer cards. So you should have each received a prayer card for Latin America. I hope that you take this home, that you pray over the people that are fighting against this. And thank you, Pastor Zeph, for praying earlier. And just a quick plug for something that's coming up in October. On October 16th in Leesburg, there's going to be a Freedom Walk. Now, this is going to be with A21. They're a completely different organization, but they're doing the same thing as IJM. And we're all on the same team here. So there's a Freedom Walk. If you're interested in that, there will be more information coming about that. So thank you for giving me your attention, and let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to speak about those who are impoverished, those who are being trafficked. I pray that even today that you will nudge each one of us on what we can do, practically speaking, to help those that are enslaved. Father, I thank you for International Justice Mission. I lift them up and pray that you will use them to eradicate this horrible thing that's happening. And we just give you honor and glory today in Jesus' name. Amen.